We've been taking this month to look at Sabbath. We've looked at the commandment around Sabbath and found two records of the Ten Commandments. And we've also looked at the Old Testament teaching on Sabbath, sabbatical year, and the year of Jubilee. The focus has been on Sabbath as peacemaking, believing that if we follow these rhythms of Sabbath, that there will be an orderedness and a peace and a settledness in our lives that allows us to live out the ways of God through peacemaking, through following God, through doing those things which God calls us to. Today we're going to turn to the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus. Early in Jesus' ministry, we find him in the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath, and in Luke 4, verses 16 to 30, that is recorded. And Jesus is given the scroll from Isaiah and picks it up and reads these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is Jesus' mission statement. It's really his purpose that he's articulating at the beginning of his ministry to say why he's come. He's come to set the captive free, to bring sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to give good news to the poor. It's his mission, his purpose on earth, and actually our purpose as his followers. He says that he has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which refers to the year of Jubilee. We talked about the year of Jubilee last week and how that was this great reversal when the land went back to the original owners, when the slaves were set free, when the debts were erased, and things got righted back to a balanced way again. It was a huge gift of God's way. And Jesus is saying, today this scripture has been fulfilled. The year of the Lord's favor has come to pass. It has been fulfilled in Jesus. But we go on there and encounter Jesus' interactions with the Sabbath. And I'm going to look just briefly at two of them. The first one is in Luke 13, beginning in verse 10. There we find Jesus teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And while he's teaching, there is a crippled woman there, and he takes compassion upon her and heals this woman that is in the Sabbath. It sounds like it's just actually right in the middle of speaking, of being doing his work in the Sabbath of teaching, that he kind of pauses and heals this woman as if to say, but this is more important. I must do this. The leader of the synagogue is pretty upset. He gets indignant, and Jesus is healed on the Sabbath. He can't do that. And he says, there are 6 days on which this work ought to be done, this work of healing. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. And Jesus called them hypocrites then for taking their ox and donkey to water on the Sabbath, but not allowing this woman to be set free from her bondage. The bondage that her body has held her in as she was a crippled woman and not able to live free as her heart would desire. In Mark 2, we also find Jesus on the Sabbath. He's with his disciples this time, and they're walking through the fields plucking grain from the wheat as they're walking through the fields and eating it. And the Pharisees chide him for breaking the Sabbath laws. And how dare you do that? It's against the law. It's against the Sabbath law to reap. And even that kind of innocent thing of running your hands along a sock of wheat and pulling the grains off and eating them was considered against the law and something that they should not be doing. Well, Jesus reminds them of the story in the Old Testament found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, where David and his companions are eating the consecrated bread that's been set aside in the temple. And they ate the bread because they were hungry. And while it was against the religious law, David was not condemned for eating the bread, the consecrated bread. And then Jesus, after he reminds them of this story in the Old Testament, one which they would have been very familiar with, he goes on to say, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." That so often we get caught up in rules and then we begin to serve the rule, rather than there being purpose and reason for it and how does it serve us. The Sabbath was originally intended to serve the people. It was made so that people might be refreshed after 6 days of labor. I love what I told earlier about how the Greeks were upset that the Jews would take a weekly holiday. Once a week that they would take time off and have a holiday, because that was only something that was afforded to the privileged and to the wealthy. That the common people did not get a day off. And yet the people of God were led to take this time off. It was intentional downtime that was established rhythmically in the lives of the people, that was regular. It came again and again that they might take this time down. But by the time we find Jesus in his day, there was a complex oral law around the Sabbath. It spelled out to the exact minutia detail exactly what they could do on the Sabbath, exactly what they could not do, how far they could walk, what they could do, what they couldn't do. It was spelled out in excruciating detail. The myriad of rules really meant that Sabbath didn't get people rest, because they were so caught up in what can I do, and how can I stay literally within the absolute limits. I might be able to go right up to the edge of them, and I have to figure out how far and all of those kinds of things, but I have to be able to stay within those limits. The Sabbath rules really symbolize the oral law. Oral law that was created with, I think, good intention and purpose, but now which actually oppresses people and holds them in bondage to keeping the law, to keeping the rules. The Sabbath represented the height of institutionalized Jewish religion of the day. And so Jesus is violating this Sabbath and is undercutting the authority of this complex law. And of course, that makes the religious leaders upset. How dare Jesus counter their laws? How dare Jesus act in ways that don't hold to the rule of that law? And Jesus says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the religious practices of the day." He did not bow down and serve the rules and the religious laws or give them credence. As soon as they lose their proper place, they should be torn down. God doesn't desire that we serve the rules. Rather, we are to serve God alone. It is God whom we worship, not all the rules and not all the things that we get caught up in doing to fulfill requirements so that we can make a system happy and comply within that system. Human need takes precedence over religious dogma, and Jesus' compassion for others trumps the rules. Jesus insists that doing good on the Sabbath cannot be wrong. It's as simple as that. If you're doing good on the Sabbath, you can't be doing wrong. But I think it's interesting to note that Jesus doesn't ever say this should not be a Sabbath. I'm doing away with Sabbath. That's a bad idea. It was somebody's, you know, whacked out idea to. But he does say that the purpose for Sabbath is out of bounds. So the reality is that Jesus is calling Sabbath to its right size. We've talked about that before, how things, good things, very good things, can be out of bounds so that they weigh us down in ways that they were never intended to do that. And we can all think of things in our lives, whether it be food or money or work or all kinds of things that are really good things in our lives. In fact, they're necessary for sustenance. And yet when they take an oversized place in our lives, they no longer do us good. We no longer truly benefit from them. So Jesus is calling Sabbath to its right size, to its intended purpose. That really it's a regular rhythmic day set aside for rest and worship. A downtime day. A day to gather with others in worship. A day to enter the Sabbath rest. And then we ask, have we so dismissed the rules that we've lost the sense of Sabbath rest? The Jews took it to one extreme with rigid rules and laws and prohibitions around Sabbath. But sometimes in dismissing those rules, we go to the other extreme and we lose the purpose of it altogether. How do we enter Sabbath rest in a way that is restorative and life-giving without getting caught up in rules and regulations? How do we, and I think that might look different for many of us as we think about, how am I to enter this place of Sabbath rest, this place of listening, out of which I can be guided in way forward. I can be given direction and purpose and life that will carry me and sustain me in ways that are of God, not caught up in what I should and should not. I hate that word, should. You should. It often gets us in trouble, even when we say it to ourselves. You really ought, should. I heard that, Alice, a little bit of, I should go back to all these other years and file all of these in purpose. And God said, no. Why? You don't need to. And to release ourselves from the shoulds, and yet to ask, what is life giving? Where is the life for me? Where have I lost the true purpose of this that God has given to us? And how can I find that in ways that are life giving to my spirit, that put me in a new place where I can go forward with God with joy, with love, with life? Let's enter into open worship, a time of listening, of waiting in the silence first and inviting God to speak directly to us. Because really we want to hear what God's saying, not just what I'm saying or what we presumed was to happen, but it's about what God is saying to us today directly. We invite God to correct us, to show us areas in which we should lay down or repurpose something to fit God's purpose, where it is that God would nudge us to go forward and to do things with God's heart. Let's wait and listen. And as you're prompted to share with others, Mark will bring you the microphone so that we can all hear.